Shalom, everybody, and we welcome you to this week's 5-Minute Update, where we examine the news events from the past week and relate it and associate it to significant Bible prophecies of the end of days, where we pay particular attention to the current situation with the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, war with Iran, and worldwide economic collapse. From these things, it will result in the setting up of one world government with one world currency in fulfillment of Revelation in chapter 13. But the God of Israel intends for these events to gather his people from the nations where they've been gathered, where they've been scattered, and bring them back to the land of Israel. And this is called the Greater Exodus, and it's the unification of the 12 tribes of Israel in fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 15 through 28, and in doing so the Messiah will be glorified. Well, we had some major events that happened this week regarding the peace process, and ultimately what was decided from the direct talks that took place in Washington on September the 2nd, that they are going to work to try to establish a framework peace agreement that they are trying to get done for the September 14th and 15th meetings in Egypt. And there will be a critical decision that Netanyahu will have to make regarding whether he wants to extend the settlement freeze that is scheduled to expire on September the 26th. And the United States and Israel are in consultations to come up with a creative solution for that issue. Meanwhile, Ehud Barak, before the direct talks occurred, announced that Israel was willing to divide Jerusalem as a part of a framework agreement with the Palestinians, and that ultimately it was mentioned that the strategy regarding the 12 months of talks is that Obama wants a framework agreement right away, and the details of it will be worked out in the next year, wherein there could be a formal signing of a peace agreement that could ultimately take place. Now, all the Palestinian groups except for the faction led by Mahmoud Abbas, which is the Fatah, they are against establishing peace with Israel, and they are vowing to disrupt the talks any way that they can. Now, with seeing that there could be a framework agreement and the possibility of establishing a Palestinian state, the Kadima Party, which is the opposition party led by Zippy Livni, is now talking about joining the Israeli government, holding up Netanyahu's coalition should he have a peace agreement or a framework agreement with the Palestinians. So Kadima is waiting to join the government if there is a possibility of some type of peace agreement signed with the Palestinians. Meanwhile, Barack Obama has vowed he will do everything possible to stop building in the settlements. In defiance for the possibility of Israel extending the settlement freeze, the settlers have vowed that they are going to start building again and build in at least 80 settlements. So there is rebellion against the efforts to agree to establish a Palestinian state by both the Palestinian factions as well as the Israeli settlers. In the midst of all the peace talks, there are reports that Hamas and Hezbollah and Lebanon and Syria is ready to attack Israel any day and do what they can to sabotage the direct talks. One of the dates that was discussed about the possibility of doing that was September the 2nd to coincide with the peace talks. And another date that is being mentioned is Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. It would be interesting if there actually is an attack that takes place during Sukkot, because the Haftorah reading on the Sabbath that falls in Sukkot is the reading from Gog and Magog as well as Zechariah in chapter 14. That is an overview of the information and the articles that I have to share with you regarding the peace process. So let's now look at the particular articles. The first one is from Ynet News, September the 3rd. The headline is, Benjamin Netanyahu says, I want a peace agreement. Following the two-hour meeting in Washington, Netanyahu reportedly told his close advisors that what the negotiations needed now was not a multitude of advisors, but leaders making decisions. The newspapers want headlines, but I want an agreement. It was also agreed that the content of the talks would remain discreet and that both sides would refrain from leaking information to the media. Following the Tuesday meeting, George Mitchell held a press briefing. Mitchell told reporters that the Netanyahu-Abbas meeting took place in Hillary Clinton's office. The two, he said, discussed various issues and both agreed that for the negotiations to work, it is best that they are kept under wraps. So they've announced that they desire to have a framework agreement, and the fact that they are discussing some of the details, stating that they do not want to share them with the press, means that they believe that they're going to be making an agreement to do things that those who oppose the process will not like. So therefore, they want to wait to announce the agreement when it's been made and not possibly have to defend what they are negotiating over. From the Jerusalem Post, the date is August the 31st. The headline is, Benjamin Netanyahu says regarding the talks that all issues must be discussed together. This is a strategy which Benjamin Netanyahu has for the direct talks. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu flew to Washington on Tuesday firm in his position that the way to reach an agreement with the Palestinians is to deal with all the issues together as one package and then to phase implementation of an agreement over time. In recent days, Netanyahu has spoken vigorously against what he has called cherry-picking certain issues, such as the settlement moratorium, and making those issues central to the whole process and ones over which the process would rise or fall. His statements have been made within the context of a Palestinian threat to pull out of the talks if the settlement construction moratorium was not extended at the end of the month. Netanyahu is expected to argue in Washington that just as Israel isn't saying that it will not negotiate with the Palestinian Authority until Mahmoud Abbas exerts full control over the Gaza, so too the Palestinians must not place the settlement moratorium issue as a roadblock right at the outset of the talks. Likewise, Netanyahu has said that while everyone knows that for an agreement to be concluded, the Palestinian refugee issue must be solved outside the borders of Israel, Israel is not demanding that the Palestinians dismantle a single refugee camp or even a single street in a refugee camp by a certain date before carrying on with the negotiations. Netanyahu's position is that the core issues need to be discussed as a package. In this way, concessions on settlements, for instance, could be counterbalanced by Palestinian concessions on other issues such as refugees or Jerusalem. In this way, Netanyahu has argued it will be easier to sell an agreement to the public. Netanyahu has spoken recently in the context of the continuing debate about the settlement construction moratorium of not wanting to expend all of his political capital on one issue. Regarding implementation, Netanyahu is expected to present the position that this must be done in stages, spread out over a period of years, and that any Israeli withdrawal would be gradual and based on Palestinian security performance and security arrangements implemented on the ground. Netanyahu believes that both spreading the implementation of an agreement over time and making it performance-based are critical from a security point of view to see whether the security guarantees promised are implemented and effective. In Netanyahu's view, concerning the Arab world about Iran and Islamic radicalization has created a positive regional constellation that could help bring about an agreement. In recent days, Netanyahu has said repeatedly that he's going to the talks looking for a solution, not a pretext or an excuse to torpedo the talks, and that the Palestinians should approach negotiations in the same spirit. The U.S. has appealed to both sides not to do anything nor make any statements that could harm the atmosphere for the talks. On Monday, Netanyahu pointedly said that only the moratorium would end, but nothing more. Abbas said Tuesday the success of the talks aimed at forging a peace deal with Israel within a year will depend on how hard U.S. mediators push to break any deadlocks. Abbas told reporters accompanying him to Washington that if the two sides reach a deadlock, the Obama administration should present bridging proposals to bridge the gap between the two positions. The Palestinian Authority president said the one-year deadline is reasonable because many of the issues have already been discussed in previous rounds of talks. The next article from the Jerusalem Post, August the 31st, the headline is, Netanyahu says, I hope to find a brave partner, as Menachem Begin did with Anwar Sadat. Israel is looking at the possibility that it will receive an arms package as compensation from the United States in the event that it reaches a peace agreement with the Palestinians that entails significant concessions, the Jerusalem Post has learned. Israel's argument is that there is a need to compensate for security assets that would be lost under a deal that would necessitate a withdrawal from almost all of the West Bank. Ahead of the launch of this long-awaited round of peace talks, the Israeli Defense Forces Planning Branch formulated a paper outlining Israel's security requirements that was recently approved by Chief of General Staff Lieutenant General Gabi Ashkenazi and Defense Minister Ehud Barak. In the plan, the Israeli Defense Forces referred to three requirements necessary for any withdrawal from the West Bank: a commitment that rockets would not be smuggled into the West Bank, a commitment that the Palestinians will not resume terrorist attacks against Israel like during the Second Intifada, and a commitment that if Iraq were to one day pose a military threat to Israel again, the Palestinians would not allow it or any other country to deploy military forces in the West Bank. So as the Israeli team was traveling to the United States, Ehud Barak announces that Israel is willing to divide Jerusalem. From WorldNet Daily, September the 1st, the headline is, Israel concedes Jerusalem before negotiations begin and also agrees to forfeit holy sites to be governed by a special regime. Ahead of the start of today's Mideast Summit in Washington, the Israeli government publicly conceded sections of Jerusalem, that sections of Jerusalem will become part of a Palestinian state, while holy sites would be governed by a special regime. Speaking in an interview with Israel's Haaretz newspaper, Defense Minister Ehud Barak outlined a deal with the Palestinians. West Jerusalem and 12 Jewish neighborhoods that are home to 200,000 residents will remain in Israeli hands. The Arab neighborhoods, in which close to a quarter of a million Palestinians live, will be theirs. There will be a special regime in place along with agreed-upon arrangements in the Old City, the Mount of Olives, and the City of David, added Barak. Barak told the newspaper, "What is needed is courage to make historic, painful decisions. I'm not saying that there's a certainty for success, but there's a chance. This chance must be exploited to the fullest." And then an outline of what Barak stated regarding the peace process is in Israel National News, September the 1st. And the headline is, Ehud Barak says Israel may divide Jerusalem and internationalize the Holy Basin. Defense Minister Ehud Barak said it is likely that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will agree to divide Jerusalem with the Palestinian Authority. Barak told the Hebrew language newspaper Haaretz in an interview published Wednesday that he believes the best chance for peace lies in a peace deal in which all the Arab neighborhoods in Jerusalem would be handed over to the Palestinians in order to create a capital for a new Arab country. If Netanyahu leads a process, a significant number of righteous ministers will stand with him, he told the newspaper. So what is needed is courage to make historic, painful decisions. I'm not saying that there is certainty for success, but there's a chance. The chance must be exploited to the fullest. The peace plan prescribed by Barak includes the following. Number one, two states for two peoples. Number two, an end to the conflict and an end of all future demands. Number three, a demarcation of a border that will run inside the land of Israel, dividing a demilitarized Palestinian state from an Israel that includes the settlement blocks. Next, retrieving and relocating the isolated settlements into the settlement blocks or within Israel. A solution to the refugee problem within the Palestinian state or rehabilitating them through international aid. A comprehensive security arrangement, and finally, a solution to the Jerusalem problem. As for the Jerusalem problem, Barak told the newspaper that the western side of the city plus 12 Jewish neighborhoods that are home to 200,000 residents will belong to Israel. The neighborhoods in which a quarter of a million Arabs are living will be theirs. In addition, Barak envisions a special regime, with agreed-upon arrangements to administer the Old City, the Mount of Olives, and the City of David. The concept is similar to the one raised in the past by the administration of former U.S. President Bill Clinton, who recommended the area, which he referred to as the Holy Basin, be internationalized under a special regime. The next article from WorldNet Daily, September the 1st, the headline is, Is Obama blackmailing Israel? Is Obama blackmailing Israel amid a U.S. summit? The article reads, if Israel and the Palestinian Authority fail to reach an agreement within the next year, the Obama administration could support a United Nations resolution that would unilaterally recognize a Palestinian state, senior Palestinian officials told WorldNet Daily. The officials were speaking ahead of a major summit that starts today in Washington to launch direct talks between Israel and the Palestinians. The foreign ministers of Egypt and Jordan will also take part in the summit. Sources in both the Palestinian Authority and Israel told WorldNet Daily the Obama administration did not impose any preconditions for the summit, a move that is somewhat out of character for the U.S. president. It was Obama who urged Israel to halt all Jewish construction in the West Bank and Eastern Jerusalem as a precondition for indirect negotiations last November. Under intense pressure, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu froze Jewish West Bank construction for 10 months, a moratorium that is set to expire at the end of September. Palestinian officials told WorldNet Daily they received an American pledge against any new Jewish construction into the foreseeable future in the West Bank or eastern sections of Jerusalem, excluding what are known as the three main settlement blocks, which are Gush Etzion, Ma'ale Adumim, and Ariel. The Palestinian Authority officials said the U.S. has been negotiating the borders of a future Palestinian state. Look, the Palestinians said that the United States has been negotiating the borders of a future Palestinian state that would see Israel eventually withdraw from most of the West Bank and some areas of eastern Jerusalem, with the exception of the three mentioned settlement blocks. While the Palestinians do not believe it will see an actual Palestinian state within a year, it expects in that time it will take over many more neighborhoods in the West Bank and eastern Jerusalem that are normally controlled on the ground by Israel. The Palestinians said the expectation is based on pledges given to it by the Obama administration. Still, both Israeli leaders and Palestinian officials told WorldNet Daily that following today's summit, they do not expect any major momentum toward a future Palestinian state until after November's midterm elections. Officials on both sides believe Obama sees a heavy-handed approach toward Israel-Palestinian talks as a potential liability in a run-up to the elections. So, basically, a framework agreement that doesn't lay out how the details are going to be implemented so as to not make it appear that Obama is being heavy-handed toward Israel, but the Obama administration is expected, if it needs to, impose heavy-handedness upon Israel after the elections are over. And this next article from Israel Today, September the 1st, says Obama wants a signed framework agreement, not a full-fledged peace agreement in the near future. Diplomatic sources revealed to Israel's largest daily newspaper that when direct Israeli-Palestinian peace talks resume in Washington on Thursday, U.S. President Barack Obama intends to strongly press both sides to sign a peace deal, even if it can't be fully implemented. According to a leaked transcript of a conference call between Obama administration officials and U.S. Jewish leaders, Obama will pressure Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas to sign a framework deal now that will lead to the signing of a final status deal within 1 year. However, the implementation of that final status deal is expected to take at least 10 years. So, this article was reported the day before the direct talks happened, and this article is reporting that the Obama administration is going to press both sides for an immediate framework agreement and a full-fledged peace deal later. Well, we have the announcement following the direct talks that that's exactly what they said were the result of the direct talks. So they didn't decide this at the direct talks. This was a deal that was already made prior to the direct talks. The article goes on to say, during the first year, Obama wants to see Netanyahu, Abbas, and their respective teams holding meetings at a hectic pace in order to iron out differences in the run-up to signing the peace deal. When the two sides hit roadblocks, U.S. officials will intervene. Now, from the direct talks, September the 2nd, the Jerusalem Post, the headline is, Israelis and Palestinians to work out a framework agreement. The article says, in the first concrete decision to emerge from the direct talks that began on Thursday, Israeli and Palestinians agreed to work out a framework agreement in the coming months as a first step to a full peace treaty, U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell announced on Thursday. The idea, according to sources close to Netanyahu, is to reach an agreement in principle on core issues and then have the respective staffs settle the details. Mitchell stressed that the framework deal would not be an interim agreement, which the Palestinians have resisted, but would tackle all of the issues at the heart of the conflict. The purpose of a framework agreement will be to establish the fundamental compromises necessary to enable them to flesh out and complete a comprehensive treaty that will end the conflict and establish a lasting peace between Israel and the Palestinians, he told reporters during the first day of direct talks between Israel and the Palestinians. The parties also agreed on Thursday to hold another round of talks on September the 14th and 15th in the Middle East, possibly at the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The mid-September talks will include Secretary of State Clinton and Mitchell, an indication of America's central role in the process. There were also some reports that the U.S. was trying to put together understandings related to settlement building. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has made clear in Washington that he will not extend the 10-month housing freeze he instituted in November. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has demanded a freeze in all settlement activity. Now, if they are able to fulfill their plan to have a framework agreement either in September or October, that framework agreement would specify inevitably that Jerusalem be made the capital of a Palestinian state, thus becoming an international city. If that framework agreement does come about, I would have to believe that that very well could be the Daniel 9:27 agreement that is associated with the tribulation. So if they're able to do what their goal is set out to do, this could be the information and the agreement being made that would indicate that we are at the beginning of the tribulation. These events are huge. And the next article indicates that the Obama administration is intending at some point in time to put heavy pressure upon Israel as the peace process continues. And I have been stating since this past spring that it is the Obama administration's intent to bring Israel and the Palestinians to the table to have direct talks, because the purpose of the direct talks is to put pressure on Israel to make an agreement to establish a Palestinian state, which apparently they are and have the mindset to seek to achieve. And so I've been asking the question for the past year or 18 months, when this point comes, when Netanyahu will be pressured regarding his decision on a Palestinian state, settlements in Jerusalem, will he hold his ground, wherein the international community will then recognize a Palestinian state through the UN Security Council, or will he cave in and agree to a state? So it now appears, from what we're being told from the direct talks, that Netanyahu indeed is willing to cave from the pressure from the United States and the international community. This next article from Democracy Now, September the 2nd, the headline reads, according to the Palestinians, Obama vows to stop the settlements. Now, regarding Obama's statement of how he sees the talks and the goals of the talks, he states, "These negotiations are intended to resolve all final status issues. The goal is a settlement negotiated between the parties that ends the occupation, which began in 1967, and results in the emergence of an independent, democratic, and viable Palestinian state living side by side in peace and security with the Jewish state of Israel and its neighbors. That's the vision we are pursuing. Well, that is the demand that Mahmoud Abbas wanted from the United States to accept direct talks, wherein Israel said no preconditions. So Hillary Clinton announced no preconditions. The quartet announced that the peace process would be based upon these objectives. Now President Obama comes out and says that the purpose of the talks is conditional. It is with the goal to have a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders. And that was the position that Netanyahu said that he was rejecting. So we can see that Netanyahu accepted the direct talks while him trying to cover himself politically, knowing that it was what Abbas was stating regarding the talks, that they would be based upon 67 borders, which was the true position of the United States as well as the European Union. Now, this next quote is from a senior Palestinian Authority leader, Nabil Sha'ath, regarding the position of the Obama administration. He says, Obama expressed his big interest and that of his administration to reach a solution that would lead to an independent Palestinian state that encompasses all the goals and ambitions of the Palestinian people, and that this goal must be achieved now. He also stressed that this is an American interest, not just a Palestinian, Arab, or Israeli interest. He stressed that he would do all that he can to reach an agreement within a year, and that he would do all that he can to stop the settlements. That was his principal message. And so Obama intends to have a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders, and he is going to demand of Israel that the settlements are stopped. And not wanting to get into trouble with the right wing of his government, perhaps this is the reason why there's an effort to get a framework agreement, perhaps as early as this month in September, before the freeze expires, so that it could be said for the date of the ending of the freeze, hey, we got a framework agreement, which means that we're going to have to leave the West Bank. And so given that they would have a framework agreement, then the settlement issue would be taken care of, and Netanyahu can say, hey, we can't build because we are agreeing to give this land over to the Palestinians as a part of their state. Now, with things going in this direction, it's quite conceivable that there will be members of the current Israeli government that will want to leave the government, not supporting a Palestinian state, not supporting a decision to extend the settlement freeze. Now, if that does end up happening, in order for the Israeli government not to collapse and there to be new elections, the opposition party, that is Kadima, led by Tzipi Livni, would have to join the government. And Tzipi Livni has said since the Israeli elections that if Netanyahu would pursue a peace agreement with the Palestinians, that Kadima would support this. And so seeing the announcement of a framework agreement the person inside Kadima who is vying for power with Zippy Livni, Shaul Mofaz, spoke on September the 2nd to the Jerusalem Post about the possibility that current peace negotiations would lead to changes in the coalition of the Israeli government. And so Mofaz told Israel Army Radio, if by the end of the year we see that there are real intentions to reach an agreement with the Palestinians, Kadima will have to decide its path. The Prime Minister will have to decide whether he wants to expand his coalition and change its guidelines, that is, the guideline being working to establish a Palestinian state. If he does, there will be many in Kadima who will want to help reach a real agreement. Most Kadima members would be willing to give their backing from inside the government if there is a process that could lead to peace. And so, seeing the direction of things, the next article explains that Israeli settlers are right now starting new construction, defying the possibility of a settlement freeze being extended. This indicates roots of rebellion among nationalistic Jews, and this rebellion against the Palestinian state, prophetically, Isaiah 66, Revelation chapter 12, is the way in which biblical Zion will be born, which is a tribulation event. So we see the seeds of this right now. The article I'm reading to you is from Reuters. Hours before peace talks were set to begin in Washington, Jewish settlers defiantly announced plans on Thursday to launch new construction in their West Bank enclaves in tests of strength with Palestinian Islamists. Naftali Bennett, director of the settlers' Yesha Council, told Reuters settlers would begin building homes and public structures in at least 80 settlements, breaking a partial government freeze on building that ends on September 26th. The idea is that de facto the freeze is over, Bennett said, criticizing the U.S.-sponsored Israeli-Palestinian talks as aiming for a phony peace and rejecting Palestinian demands for a halt to settlement building on land they want for their own state. So that summarizes the situation regarding the Israeli side. Summarizing again those things, Benjamin Netanyahu says he wants a peace agreement, that all outstanding issues should be discussed together. He's indicating that he hopes that Mahmoud Abbas is willing to strive to achieve a genuine peace agreement in preparation for the possibility of there to be a framework agreement. Before the talks actually began, Defense Minister Ehud Barak indicated that Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu is willing to divide Jerusalem. And just to put pressure upon Israel to agree to a framework agreement and pursue the peace process, Palestinian leaders are saying that the Obama administration is once again stating that they are willing to recognize a Palestinian state and its borders should these talks fail. Then it's reported that Obama wants a framework agreement now with the details consisting of a formal peace treaty that would be negotiated in the next year. And so in the effort to seek to come up with a framework agreement, it was decided that the direct talks would continue in a couple weeks, September the 14th and 15th. Now, given the Palestinians' concern regarding the settlement freeze and that they are agreeing to direct talks right before the ending of the settlement freeze, they must believe that they have some assurances from both Israel and the United States that the decision regarding the settlements will be favorable to the Palestinians. So that's also an indication, a sign, of where things are leading. And an agreement to divide the land and to make Jerusalem an international city with East Jerusalem as the capital of a Palestinian state would then be a tribulation event. So the various leaders are discussing doing exactly that in the process of these direct talks. Well, if there would be a framework agreement, there is a risk that members of the current government of Benjamin Netanyahu, who are more right-wing, would want to leave the government. And that would collapse the government and cause the need for new elections. But Kadima, the opposition party headed by Zippy Livni, has always indicated that if Israel pursues a peace agreement, they would join the government. And if they join the government, then the government would not collapse. And the settlers are saying that they're going to go forward with construction. And the next couple articles is how the Palestinians see the situation. First of all, Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad announced that the Palestinians will have state institutions to enable it to function in a Palestinian state in a year. Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad on Monday unveiled the second phase of his plan to create institutions for a Palestinian state within 1 year. Speaking to reporters in Ramallah, he said that his government was planning to create a reality on the ground that would be hard to ignore. In the second year of its plan, the government is seeking to stress national preparedness for the establishment of the state of Palestine, Fayyad said. He admitted that the Palestinians were facing financial difficulties, making it hard for it to meet basic needs. Fayyad said that in the past year alone, his government succeeded in implementing 2,000 projects in various fields, including infrastructure, water, and health development. Meanwhile, Fatah announced that it would not recognize Israel as a Jewish state. Fatah spokesman Ahmed Assaf dismissed demands that the Palestinians accept Israel as a Jewish state. He said such a demand was a violation of international law and threatened to sabotage the peace talks. Accepting Israel's demand means that millions of Palestinians would be expelled from their historic homes and lands, and that will never happen, the Fatah spokesman said. Next article from Haaretz, September the 3rd. According to a Palestinian source, the U.S. is pressuring Abbas to continue direct talks even if settlements expand. That is following September 26th. A senior Palestinian source told Haaretz that the American administration renewed its pressure on Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to stay in direct negotiations with Israel even if some construction in the settlement resumes after the end of the current moratorium. The source warned that Abbas would not be able to agree to a renewal of construction and would be forced to withdraw from the talks. According to the source, a Palestinian okay for the renewal of construction, just as direct talks are resumed, is politically impossible. Sources in Ramallah said yesterday that both the Israelis and the Americans know Abbas's likely course of action. At first, Abbas will demand that the talks not last longer than a year, culminating with the establishment of a Palestinian state in the 67 borders and with Jerusalem as its capital. Abbas would not be able to give up Palestinian sovereignty in East Jerusalem, and especially the Temple Mount, but large Jewish neighborhoods would be retained by Israel. If this much is achieved, Abbas would be able to agree that the refugee issue will be resolved primarily within the borders of the new Palestinian state, with only a few tens of thousands receiving Israeli citizenship as a humanitarian gesture. At the moment, the Palestinian Authority does not seem to be determined to demand Israel take historic responsibility for the refugee problem. In earlier negotiations, the Palestinians traditionally insisted that each refugee be allowed to choose from several choices of compensation, including financial remuneration and a return to Israel proper, subject to an agreed quota. The Palestinians would also agree to the presence of NATO, but not the Israeli army, in the West Bank and the Jordan Valley, and would only agree to land swaps at a ratio of 1-to-1 in size and quality. In other words, it would not agree to swap fertile West Bank lands for Israeli deserts. And next, from the Jerusalem Post, September the 3rd, Hamas is to launch more effective attacks on Israel. 13 Gaza militant groups have joined forces to launch a wave of attacks against Israel, Reuters reported on Thursday. Hamas reportedly announced after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas launched peace talks that the 13 groups would step up more effective attacks against Israel. So within the Palestinian Authority, the current situation is Salam Fayyad is going forward building institutions with the expectation that there will be a Palestinian state. And it appears as though Israel would want the continuation of settlement building in the large settlement blocks, but not elsewhere, and that Mahmoud Abbas would be agreeable to that if he had a framework agreement. And then Hamas and other groups will not accept the Palestinian state and peace with Israel, but would continue to wage its war against Israel. So we have Hamas and groups within the Palestinian Authority that would not support a peace agreement. We have nationalistic Jews that will not support a peace agreement. And in the Palestinians and the Arabs, especially Lebanon and Syria, not wanting to see a peace agreement, Debka File is reporting that Hamas and Hezbollah is ready and prepared to launch an invasion of Israel any day. This is September the 2nd. Intelligence and Persian Gulf sources report that on August the 30th, Hezbollah put its forces on a state of war alert and issued a partial call-up of reservists. According to Debka File's military sources, Hezbollah appears to be preparing a major attack on Israel straight after the ceremonial start of the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks in Washington on Thursday, September the 2nd. A second target date is the Jewish New Year festival starting on September the 8th. A large-scale attack appears to be in the works, judging by the heavy influx of armed Hezbollah units to southern Lebanon in the last few days. Our military sources report that they include special units trained especially for deep strike incursions into northern Israel in response to Israel counterattacks. Our intelligence sources report that the Iranian Al-Quds commander of Iran's networks and surrogates in Iraq, the Gaza Strip, and the Palestinian Authority have spent the last 10 days in Damascus, Syria. He arrived there on August the 19th in the party of General Mohammed al-Jafari, Revolutionary Guards chief, and stayed on after his boss left the Syrian capital. Apparently assigned to oversee an important terrorist or military operation against Israel, Hezbollah's own direct commander on behalf of the IRGC, Hassan Mavdavi, is reported by Western intelligence sources monitoring events in Lebanon as leaning hard on Hezbollah's Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah to strike Israel within a few days in response to U.S. sponsorship of direct Israeli-Palestinian talks. The terrorist chief is reported to be on the verge of a decision about what target to attack and when. Reluctant to leave the field to the Palestinian Hamas, Nasrallah is additionally badgered by a flock of IRGC officers visiting Lebanon and trying to persuade Lebanese Parliament Speaker Nabi Bari to allow his rival Shiat Amal organization to join Hezbollah for the first time in a strike against Israel. They want all the Shiite streams in Lebanon to show the flag in unison as a gesture of welcome in advance of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's forthcoming state visit to Lebanon. The date of his visit is a closely kept secret by Iran and Lebanon. Debka file sources disclose that it's scheduled for September the 10th through the 12th when Israel is celebrating Rosh Hashanah. So it is no coincidence that as Israel and the PLO are discussing the possibility of a framework peace agreement, that there is word that war could break out any day. Because in Joel chapter 3 verse 2, it says the nations will divide the land. In Joel chapter 3 verse 9, it says, tell the nations to prepare for war. So we have two things on the horizon in the Middle East. They seem contradictory to one another, but biblically they are related. And that is a possible framework peace agreement being signed, and secondly, war breaking out as well. Now, the last article I have to share with you is regarding Big Brother in the United States. And this article is from the publicintelligence.net website, August the 24th. The headline is, the U.S. Department of Justice lists survivalists, constitutionalists in its extremist guide. A public Department of Justice guide for investigators of criminal and extremist groups lists constitutionalists and survivalists alongside organizations like Al-Qaeda and the Aryan Brotherhood. The 120-page law enforcement sensitive guide to investigating terrorism and criminal extremism terms and concepts describes itself as a glossary designed primarily as a tool for criminal justice professionals to enhance their understanding of words related to extremist terminology, phrases, activities, symbols, organizations, and selected names that they may encounter while conducting criminal investigations or prosecution of members of extremist organizations. Constitutionalist, defined by Random House's 210 Dictionary, is an inherent or advocate of constitutionalism or of an existing constitution. It's described in the government report as a generic term for members of the Patriot Movement. Survivalists are described in the document as fearing a coming collapse of civilization and are trying to prepare themselves for this collapse. Such individuals are said to have typically stockpiled food, water, and weapons, especially the latter, that is weapons, and instructed themselves on topics ranging from first aid to childbirth to edible plants. So if a constitutionalist describes you, then the U.S. Department of Justice regards you as an extremist. The guide defines the term New World Order as being used by conspiracy theorists to refer to a global conspiracy designed to implement worldwide socialism. The Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, and Council on Foreign Relations are described as organizations targeted by right-wing extremists for conspiring to dominate the world. The guide also defines one world government as the concept that there will ultimately be a single governing body that will control the world, adding that some right-wing extremists fear this occurring, believing that white people will be in the minority, with Jewish people ultimately controlling the world. So if you believe that there is an effort to establish a new world order and one world government, then the U.S. Department of Justice would see you as being an extremist. So, as examples of extremist terminology, it included the following. The Bilderbergers, defined as being, along with the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, one of three groups targeted by right-wing extremists for conspiring to dominate the world. So if you believe that there is a Bilderberger group, there is a Trilateral Commission, and there is a Council on Foreign Relations that is seeking influence in international affairs, then the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. Other terms, concentration camps, which are defined as being detention camps supposedly being built or already built by the United States government, according to conspiracy theorists. So if you believe that there are concentration camps around the United States, then the United States Department of Justice would regard you as being an extremist. Constitutionalist, being defined as a general term for members of the Patriot Movement, it is now often used to refer to members of the Sovereign Citizen or Common Law Court Movement. Sometimes the word constitutionalist is also used. The Council on Foreign Relations, defined as being, along with the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, one of the three key groups that conspiracy theorists claim operate behind the scenes to control the world and to establish the New World Order. Executive orders, defined as being the formal means by which the President of the United States determines the conduct of business in the executive branch. Typically, such executive orders take two forms. Number one, orders governing administration or policy matters in executive branch agencies, and two, orders for which the authority is derived from congressional authorizations. The Patriot Movement, however, contends that executive orders are presidential laws that bypass Congress and subvert the Constitution. So if you believe that executive orders subvert the Constitution, then the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. The term globalization, a term generally referred to the denationalization of economies, markets, products, and populations brought about by ever faster travel, improved communication, and advances in technology. So if you believe there's an effort of globalization in the world, the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. The term Illuminati, defined as being an intellectual society and social club formed by a university professor, Adam Weisskopf, who lived from 1748 to 1811. He was from southern Germany in the 1770s in the spirit of enlightenment. It was suppressed by Bavarian authorities in the 1780s. Weisskopf spent the rest of his life writing about the Illuminati. People who believe the Illuminati conspiracy theories believe the society never died away but lived on, run by people intent on controlling the world through devious means. So if you believe there is an Illuminati, then the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. New World Order, defined as being a term used by conspiracy theorists to refer to a global conspiracy designed to implement worldwide socialism. So if you believe that there is a movement toward a New World Order and that it's socialistically based, then the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. One world government, defined as being the concept that there will ultimately be a single governing body that will control the world. Some right-wing extremists fear this occurring, believing that white people will be in the minority and that Jewish people will control the world. So if you believe that there is an effort for one world government, then the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. The Patriot Movement, defined as being a general term used by its members to describe the collective movements and individuals on the extreme right wing. In one form or another, this practice dates back many decades. In the 1930s, many on the far right referred to themselves as super patriots. In the 60s and 70s, it was common to refer to Christian Patriot Movement. But this term is less common now than then. Among the types of individuals that can be found within the Patriot Movement are white supremacists, sovereign citizens, tax protesters, militia members, and sometimes anti-abortion or anti-environmental groups. So if you believe that there's an effort to promote radical environmentalism, and if you believe in conservative values, and if you believe in constitutional values, then the United States Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. The term sovereign citizen, a term used to describe the adherence to a philosophy derived from the group Pace Comitatus that posits that there are two types of citizens. 14th Amendment is citizens who are subject to the laws and taxes of the federal and state governments, and sovereign citizens who are only subject to common law. Sovereign citizens claim that they are absolutely mastery over all their property, that they essentially do not have to pay taxes, that they are not citizens of the United States but are non-resident aliens with respect to that illegal corporation, that the only court which has jurisdiction to try them for any manner is a common law court, and that they can never be arrested or tried for a crime or matter in which there is no complaining victim, as well as various other notions. So if you believe that you should be regarded as a sovereign citizen of the United States, then the U.S. Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. A survivalist, defined as being a movement fearing a coming collapse of civilization, generally as the result of nuclear war, and trying to prepare themselves to survive it. Survivalists typically stockpile food, water, and weapons, especially weapons, and instruct themselves on various other topics. So if you believe that bad times are coming and possibly war upon America, where you need to have food and water for such emergencies, then the United States Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. The tax protest movement, defined as being a movement consisting of people who do not simply want to avoid paying taxes, but generally claim that they should not have to pay them. The right-wing movement started in the 50s and 60s and has concentrated on interpreting the Constitution, U.S. law, and the tax code in particular in such a way as to be able to claim that most people do not have to pay income taxes. The motivating force behind the right-wing tax protest movement was to find loopholes, actual or manufactured, that would allow people to claim that they had no tax obligation. So even though there was no federal income tax in the United States of America from 1776 to 1913, if you believe that what was a part of this country for 150 years should apply today regarding taxes, than the United States Department of Justice would regard you as an extremist. So that's going to conclude our update for this week. We are watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. We report to you what we see happening regarding the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, the possibility of war with Iran, the possibility of a dollar collapse and a global economic crisis, as well as significant events related to Big Brother. And so we pray that this update has been a blessing to you. Until we do it again, shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.